Welcome to Reimagined. I'm your host, Dr. Alex Swenson-Ridley, the founder of Emergent Women Coaching and a woman on a mission to help other heart-centered women leaders and entrepreneurs alter their experience of business and life from one of sacrifice and burnout to unadulterated joy and freedom. This is the show that gives you the inspiration and permission to break all the rules. We help you tap into your intuition, your zone of genius, and creativity to give you the confidence and clarity to do things differently. And we give you the tools and stories that will inspire you to rejuvenate your spirit, innovate how you lead and do business, strengthen your core identity, and connect deeply to yourself so that you emerge as the next powerful version of you. Ready to dive in? Let's go. Before we dive into today's episode, I just wanted to take a quick moment to share something that I have created for you. I know we all love the idea of morning routines, right? It's a great concept, and I know many women, and myself included, who have gone through the hassles of trying to create the perfect morning routine. I say that somewhat sarcastically, but often they can, you know, seem like they have to take too much time, or we have to join the 5 a.m. club, or whatever it is. So I have created a strength and serenity guide for women entrepreneurs and leaders. And what it is a 3-minute morning routine, 3 minutes guaranteed to lower your stress, increase your energy, and increase your capacity for whatever life throws at you, no matter what you've got going on. So to download this, again, 3 minutes, and this is a guarantee. In there, you've got written explanation of it. I've also got a link to a Google Drive with videos walking you through it, videos and audio recording, and you also have a tracker, so you can actually track your energy and your emotional regulation. It doesn't take long. It's like a 2-second thing, just so that you're aware of how things are changing over 7 days as you implement this new thing. So to download it, go to emergentwomencoaching.com/links. If we're connected in social media, it's also in my bio on any of the platforms. But again, that's emergentwomencoaching.com/links. All right, let's get to the episode. Hello, welcome back to the show. I'm excited for today's conversation. I am joined by international bravery coach Nicole Trick Steinbach, who teaches that bravery isn't something people are born with or without. It's a skill that must be intentionally built and refined so we can become what we yearn to be. Nicole chased the vision of on-paper success for 20 years before realizing that focusing on metrics over happiness had left her exhausted, burnt out, and lonely. Since then, she has worked to create a wonderfully fulfilling life full of connection and appreciation, rest and joy, safety and wealth. Nicole now coaches other women to build their brave, let go of their perfectionism, put themselves first, and grow as professionals and as people. So Nicole, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me. Your pronunciation is very reflective of the fact you lived abroad for a little while.
Yes, we were just discussing.
Because I am an American, as everyone can hear, but I did marry into a German family when I lived there for a long time. So it's that delightful Steinbach.
Steinbach, yes. Gotta love the German pronunciation of things. Well, we're, as anyone listening to the show can probably tell, we are quite aligned in how we approach life and work and all of the things. So I'm excited to have you here. And as I like to do with my guests, you know, is just start with part of your story, you know, especially around that transition, because I know for many of us, it can be scary to think of jumping into the unknown of like actually creating fulfillment in life and not, you know, burning the candle at both ends in a career that you don't really love.
Oh my goodness, right? And how we do one thing tends to be how we do so much of our lives. Yeah. And so one shift can make a huge difference. So I love to start with probably the unexpected, which is, yes, I'm a former executive in tech. Yes, I've worked in 25 countries. Yes, I now live between Colorado and Germany. But we can find all those things on my website or my bio, you know, lots of different places. But the unexpected is I actually grew up quite poor. I grew up with a lot of limitations. I have a stutter. I learned just a few years ago that the reason I struggle to identify people and recognize people is because I have a disorder. My brain doesn't recognize the face as easily as other elements. And so I wasn't necessarily destined, and certainly the American capitalistic society was not setting me up to become a global executive, to live abroad. But I wanted something else. And there was this moment, and this is what I like so much about many of the people you've had on this podcast, is I was in this school. It was an underfunded school. It was actually in the Appalachian area, which is a pretty poor area of the United States, close to the East Coast. And this woman came in for career day. Now, I cannot tell you anything specific about this woman other than she said, I went to school here and I have a global career. And I was like, well, hot dog, me too. So I went to school. I went to school in Pittsburgh, graduated right after September 11th. I'm in my 40s. And the jobs here just weren't hitting it. And I was teaching English. I was a secretary in computer science to get through school. Like, I had to pay my bills. And I was waitressing. And I wanted to join the federal government's program, but it wasn't an option anymore, because that program got decimated and got sent into something called Homeland Security. So my boyfriend at the time got a fellowship, a postdoc in Germany, in Heidelberg, Germany. I was like, why don't you come along? And I was like, that sounds horrible. That sounds scary. And it took me a couple of weeks, because I was also, that sounds amazing. That sounds incredible, right? And going back and forth and back and forth. And recently I was asked the question of, when did I realize that bravery was a skill? And when did I start taking actual steps in it? And I actually think it was that process where it crystallized for me and then built over the course of my career. Because first I got clear. Like, so I teach people that to build the skill of bravery, there are three steps. Clarity, momentum, and accountability. Clarity is knowing what you want, what you don't want, and sharing it with people around you. Mm-hmm. Momentum is feeling. Now, I support women in technology. I am a woman in tech. Maybe we don't like that so much, but we need to feel, which yes, I know you do. Shared as well.
If you don't, it's kind of trauma.
It's kind of not good. Then you get to do somatic things later on in life.
Yeah. Didn't I done that?
And then decide who you want to be. And for me, it was like talking to other people, talking to the professors who were not American, talking to maybe some older generation where I was waiting tables, right, who had lived abroad, feeling my way into the discomfort, but also into the like curiosity and the connection and the excitement. And then at the end of the day, the reason I decided to do it, to move to Germany, was because I didn't want to be the person who didn't move to Germany. So I spent weeks and weeks and weeks, and it came down to, do you want to be the person who didn't do it? And I was like, no. So I did it. And that those are those moments of transition that frequently, and you know, I know that my audience really speaks to this, my community, like we overcomplicate everything. And we look at it from a prism and all the different sides and the 4D models. And then it's like one powerful question. Is this who you want to be? And moving through that transition, sometimes it feels really hard. Moving to Germany was awful. I was so lonely. I worked so hard. I didn't understand even how to like get bread, right? Because in Europe, if they say two, they hold up first their thumb and then their first finger. Okay.
Yeah.
So I would go up and I would say, zwei Brötchen, right? And they would give me three because I had the two fingers up like an American making a V. And they were like, okay, lady, here's three. And I'm like, I don't have the German skills to fix this. Yeah. And then when I was in Germany, I taught English for a while. Then some things happened to the United States tax code and it just wasn't able to continue freelancing. I was going to come back. One of my clients hired me. And it just grew from there, saying yes before I was ready, becoming a consultant before I knew that there was a job consultant, traveling, overworking, almost burning myself out, getting sent to coaching, becoming a coach myself, growing in leadership and management, and deciding to hack the system by being who I was. over time. And then in 2017, 2018, there were some changes inside of the tech industry and my employer. I couldn't see myself inside of that. Long story short, and she was actually on your podcast, Tammy Gildner, helped me.
Yeah.
Really make that decision to step outside of my corporate career and do that, which gave me so much, just energy at the end of the day. At the time, that's what I was like. I just want to feel energetic. I don't want to travel all the time and miss my kids. I relocated globally to travel less, and I'm still traveling. I want to have more control. And and then I went out and I took essentially my executive job, went onto the free market. So I do change management contracting, organizational change management contracting for very special places with unique problem statements. And I coach women in tech all over the world to build the skill of bravery, to stop stressing so darn much. Oh my gosh, it's not that important. We are not doing surgery. It's tech. Let's go. Stop working so darn much, because a lot of my clients are doing other people's jobs. Nobody's going to stop you from doing their job. And then quite a number of them are actually underpaid, which is, they're still earning good. To be clear, we earn well in tech. However, if you're 20% low, so those are like all the, not all the transition, because I failed to mention becoming a mother was a, it was not an easy process for me. Oh, but those are like the bigger transitions.
Yeah. And I love this idea of bravery and more, a lot of, from just what you were sharing before, it wasn't necessarily like, just waking up and saying, I'm going to be brave and move across the world. Ocean and all this stuff.
No.
But you started taking actions towards that. Like you started exploring it. You started looking at, okay, well, what if? What is this really like?
And in fact, I am not a naturally brave person. Like you put me, I understand that he kidnapped her. He was verbally abusive, like all the things. But if I had to choose which princess to be, I'm Belle. You give me that library. And you give me that isolation, and like, I'd probably have to go out and visit the townspeople a lot, but I'm happy. So I was the person who wanted the adventure, but I felt very, very fearful.
Yeah.
And I still feel that way when it comes to starting my own podcast or, before we got on here, I felt very nervous and so I had to come back to clarity. What is it you want to do? I want to inspire people to know that bravery is a skill. It's not limited to firefighters and soldiers and people who are slamming their fists onto desks and controlling people and all that stuff. It's you choosing what you want.
Right? Yeah.
You have a great episode about the tension between stay at home and working moms. Mm-hmm. And that is such a powerful example of how bravery is so unique. Because everybody has a different answer to that for each phase of life. And the way that you walked through the phases that you're experiencing, like I definitely felt that as well.
Yeah. And I think what's important for everyone to realize in that is, we are so inundated with what society says we're supposed to do. Like when I had a child, no one expected me to turn around and open a business 6 weeks later. Or to build it to seven figures in 5 years.
But yeah.
I did that because that was the choice that I was making at that point. And then I also chose to get tired of that thing and walk away and come home and homeschool my kid while, coaching on Zoom part-time and not even full-time. And so I think, for every woman listening, like your choices and your journey and your story are going to be different. I was just being coached by somebody actually right before we got on this, and we were walking through this, like your experiences do not define who you are.
There's That's right.
things that happen and there's you and the bridge that we build that, turns us into something because of them is all a story that we make up and actually is not grounded in any fact.
That's so, right. That's right. And that, so right there is really fascinating. So coach to coach, and maybe this is like behind the scenes talk, I don't know, but you know, there's this idea that I see gaining more and more steam, which is your thoughts create your results, or your thoughts are your reality. You are your thoughts. And it's not completely true, y'all. Like in German, we say yes and no together, and we say jein, because yes is yeah, and nein is no. Yeah. So it's jein. It's like things happen. The pandemic and everything locking down and my kiddo doing kindergarten from Zoom was not the result of my thoughts. Right. However, that I can look back on that time and giggle, and every time the pictures come up, because as we're recording, it's March, right? Like none of us knew what was coming.
Oh, that's right. That was like just a little while ago.
Yeah. You know, and so these memories are popping up on Google photos for me, like the highlights of March 2020. And it is so funny for us because of how we managed our minds and felt our feelings and walked into the process. So it's like that beautiful balance that we all figure out on our own.
It is. I'm pulling up something while you're talking because I don't know if you've read or heard of the book, The Science of Stuck by Britt Frank. I heard her on one of my mentors' podcasts and I was like, I need to read this book. But she talks about thoughts, feelings, and emotions. So let's see. Go ahead. I'll find the,
you know, because I'm actually looking for. Because the thoughts and the feelings and the emotions, right? Regardless of where you start, and then actions as well, right? Behaviors.
Yeah.
Regardless of where we enter into, you know, I call it an intervention. So regardless of if I start with the intervention of like, what are you thinking in this moment? Dear Nicole, what are you thinking in this moment? Or for my client, what are you thinking in this moment? What are you believing in this moment? For other people, it's like, especially kids, right? What are you feeling? Like, what is this feeling? Right? Or, you know, what's behind that action? What happened right before you took that action? What happened right beforehand? And right before that, and right before that. They're all connected. And we can shift any and all of them.
Yeah.
I tend to suggest that we start with one. Just as a thought. Right? To then, you know, make those internal or external shifts to create what it is that we actually want. Right?
Yes. Yeah. And like I've done, this is interesting to get into this because I've read a lot of Joe Dispenza's work and he talks, you know, from a neuroscience perspective about like we have thought plus feelings then leads to a cycle of.
I'm so sorry. I have to
do things. No,
I am so sorry.
Go for it.
I actually was in a long-term relationship with a neuroscientist.
Okay.
Who is a leader in the industry today. That is not neuroscience. What Joe Dispenza has in his books is helpful. It's a starting place, right? There are some patterns of data, but the people who are committed to that find it deeply insulting.
I can see that.
Yeah. It's, and everybody has a place, right?
Yeah.
I just know that every time it comes up and I don't say anything, I want to vomit later because I was very unbrave and I wish to be ever more brave.
It's good. I love it. I love that you speak up about that.
Oh, thank you.
And for those listening, like Joe Dispenza is more in the metaphysical and spiritual world than he is in the scientific worlds. And, you know, there's some stuff there. So
yeah,
I'm just going to share this difference between thought, feelings, and emotions really quick from this book because I was fascinated by this as we're discussing this thing. So thoughts are mental constructs such as ideas, beliefs, perspectives, opinions, and judgments. Thoughts may or may not have an accompanying body sensation. And then let me go back to feeling. Feelings are a series of body sensations. Feelings are purely physical. And emotions are body sensations with a story attached to them. Which I was like, that's a very interesting, you know, getting back to what we were talking about with the what happened and the how it affects us and the story that we tell about, like, that's the emotional part that a lot of us are disconnected from, to come back to that part of it.
Oh, that is so interesting.
Yeah.
The feeling, I have not heard that distinction. So the feeling,
it's just the body sensation, like butterflies in your stomach or whatever. And the emotion is the story that we assign to that.
There is an excellent, well, I shouldn't say excellent because I haven't finished it yet. It's called My Grandmother's Hands. And it's it's really, really a delight. Well, a delight in as in the result of the effort is a delight. Doing the effort is not a delight. Like so many wonderful things, right? Like learning how to code or learning to speak German or learning how to say how we feel or whatever. And that is something where has been really impactful for me as an entrepreneur. Cause man, if you want to bring up your poo poo, start a business. My goodness.
Seriously.
Right? And then also my parenting, right? Is I'll feel like a lot. I have a lot of anger that sits in my bones and allowing it to move without creating a story that the reason I feel angry is because I will never be successful, which is one of my favorite stories. Or the reason I'm angry is because my child, which is also like not true. My kid is a kid, right? My kid is being a kid. That's fascinating. Feeling an emotion. Okay. I wrote the book down. I'll definitely check it out.
Yeah. It's a good one. And she very nicely, if you don't have time to read, she summarizes each chapter at the end with like 10 bullet points and then some action steps.
These are the my quick favorite process. People. My favorite people. Like,
I should have written a book like that. Mine's not quite that nice, but
well, there's always version two. I love how people are now going back and like that's updating, actually on my, summarizing
on my list for this year to update my book that I released last year. So very exciting. Speaking of bravery,
nice, yeah.
And so speaking of that, this is a good launching point. I'm curious because I know I'm not the only woman who does this. Like, I will put things out there. In chiropractic school, I was known for, I think the school's, the administration was really glad when I graduated because I would do things like call our student clinic a time-sucking black hole. I actually did that and I had a professor be, you know, look at me in class one day and be like, I heard C-Hop has a contract out on your life. Because our visiting student, you know, prospective students would read the paper. So it was very entertaining for me. But, you know, I would do that stuff or like write my book. But then I have found like where I need to grow in my bravery and have been pushing myself is to actually then share it with the world. It's like, I just want to put the thing out there and be like, hey, there it is. And then go hide. Mm-hmm. And you know, similar to you, I was actually incredibly shy when I was little. I would make my younger brother go like order a popsicle at the pool for me because I didn't like to talk to people at all. And then I had an experience in chiropractic school where I went to a leadership retreat and it's led by students. And I was sitting there like sweating and wanting to puke because I knew I was supposed to be up there. And it terrified me. And but I started going to the club. I discovered that I was actually good at public speaking. And the next retreat, 6 months later, I was up there speaking and helping lead the thing. And so that was where I grew into, you know, the person who now has a podcast and all that. But for those listening, like if you have this vision of the thing that really scares you, terrifies you, it doesn't mean you're not supposed to do it. You
just absolutely
start taking some steps.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. And I love talking to people and I, like you, I feel great on stages. I'm like, I'm in it. Right. That's one place where Cammie and I were very different. She's like kind of walking around, maybe you should start a speaking thing. And I was like, what? I'm on stages all the time. One time at this huge conference, there was a technical issue and they needed someone to fill like 6-7 minutes. And there were all these people backstage and you could just tell everybody looks at me. I was like, she can fill the time. And I went out there, a couple thousand people, and I'm just like, blah, blah. I couldn't even tell you what I taught, probably the strategy or the impact of change or something. So coming back to your book, getting something done and then not feeling like you were going to tell someone about it. Yeah. What is that protecting you from?
It's a really good question that I probably need to dig into more. It's been interesting because it's resurfaced lately. Like I did an Instagram live with a friend and she actually quoted my book to me. And I was like, oh, where's that from? She's like, it's from your book. And I have no memory of writing this. I have like these moments where I like black out. And, you know, just looking at that, I'm, you know, there's a self-worth thing there, I think. And just this fear that it's not going to be well received or I'm going to be attacked or like to really dig into that. None of it's realistic, but it lives in the you know, undercurrent of things and, where I don't care about it.
It's like those tiny little decisions that we made when we were super little, you know, like for example, maybe a grown-up was tired and you had done this cool thing, not to like psychoanalyze you. I'm telling this for the audience, you know, I've now figured out how to ride my bike and ring my bell at the same time. Not that I'm telling you a true story or anything. And I'm so excited, right? And so I came up to the sidewalk and I throw my bicycle down because I'm so excited. I don't do the kickstand and I run up. But my grandmother was on the porch and she doesn't listen to my excitement. And said, she says, how can you treat something like that? You walk back there and you put the kickstand on.
Yeah.
And then later in life, I'm too scared to share my excitement. And then I'm hurt because people don't celebrate what I'm excited about. But it was all about this darn tiny little decision that I made. And my adult was correct, P.S. Like I threw down that bike. That bike was bouncing, baby. You know? It was like whenever I get to those moments where I'm like, why am I not becoming more specific? I'm actually going through this with my bravery right now with my podcast. I really want my podcast to support women in and around tech with their careers. The number one emotional word for women in tech is lonely when it comes to their careers, not inspired, not even profitable. It's lonely. And so I want to break that down. And to do that, I need to enhance my listener's score, which is essentially how long someone listens to your podcast, which means I need to spend more time on the content and structuring the content, being a little more, you know, tight with it, a little better editing, et cetera. But I made a decision early, and I don't know where this comes from. It was so early. I don't know that putting too much effort into something would backfire. So I'm like unwinding that now. I have the clarity now, like, oh, that's interesting. So I have to talk to people about it. You're not the first person I've said this to, and your audience is not the first person, right? Like I've been talking to different people about this. Then I have to start like feeling the discomfort and leaning into that very strong voice that says, hey, you're over preparing when I know that I'm not, right? Yeah. And then taking that action and becoming, I just constantly have to remind myself, I am becoming the podcaster who dismantles loneliness for women in tech via this channel, right?
Yeah.
But it's like those tiny little decisions that we make or that we made or experiences that we had and getting clear about that with gentleness. That's one of the things I really liked about, I don't remember which of the episodes it was that, but you were talking about like, allow yourself to have space. You don't have to. Actually, I think that's how I knew you were in Alaska. You used like some comparison and I was like, oh, she's in Alaska. That's so cool. Yeah. But, like we don't have to leap into this massive transformation all at once. You can, but you don't have to.
Yeah. It's baby stuff. And something I just remembered from what you shared earlier, but also getting into this, like part of the bravery thing comes from really getting connected to your heart. Like when you're hurt, is leading versus your head. And this is, you know, our head is noisy and has lots of thoughts and opinions and we're all smart. So it's going to intellectualize everything for us. And in my experience, especially in business, it doesn't always know what's right. But a lot of times what your heart's saying doesn't necessarily make sense. And so it's about, but when you can really drop into that place and allow that, you know, to inform your next step, it doesn't have to be the big one. It's just the next one.
Yes. And I truly believe, particularly for the tech industry, right? Tech is the spine of the world. And anyone who used to argue with me on that 2020, I don't listen to that anymore. Like nobody says that to me anymore. And at the same time, our industry, it's based on tables. It's very similar in some ways to the financial industry. It's based on tables. It's based on numbers. It's based on percentages. It's based on ones and zeros. We need to have a lot more heart.
Yeah.
All of these quote unquote unintended consequences, are they though? Are they? Right? And we see this just ruthlessness of profit margins, not even operating margins. If you're running a business and you don't know what an operating margin is, oh my goodness, figure that out. I'm talking about profit margins, right? Yeah. So a little bit more heart is going to support us all.
Yes, absolutely. And letting go, you know, I think the heart comes in, especially for women, like a lot of what I'm about with this podcast is redefining what success means and looks like. And speaking of profit margins, you know, I didn't understand that in my first business. So I had a seven-figure business with an almost seven-figure overhead. So it wasn't profitable. I was basically running a nonprofit. But you know, the bigger number is what everyone looks at as being like, oh, you're so successful on paper. Yes. But to me, it was a prison. And there was a reason for that. And so, you know, what's really driving what you think of as successful? And is it fulfilling you? And is the heart?
Is it fulfilling you? Is it fulfilling you, right? One of my recent, oh my gosh, I love this story so much. I have goosebumps all up and down my back. One of my clients came to me and she was overworking. She was working about two layers above what she was being paid for and entitled as. And she was in tech sales, which is a really fascinating part of the technology industry. And her first goal was to get the payment structure for two layers ahead of her. And there was this resistance to it. Like the pathway was clear. This is how you do it. These are the conversations. Here's a crucial conversation. Practice with me. Let's work on your mindset. Let's go. But she had this resistance to it. And it took a while. And about 60-ish percent of my clients change their goal. So what they come to me to do is what they think they're supposed to do. Right. And then they build the skill of bravery and they realize, ooh, I want fulfillment, to utilize your word. Yeah. And so after a couple of, it took a while, she realized, actually, I just want to feel like I have enough money. That's it. I just want to feel like I have enough money. I was like, okay, that's an amazing goal. You don't want to have the structure of the sales, like the two layers above, right? You don't want to be doing that. You want to be doing what you're doing because you're amazing at it. It's easy. You can do it in like 32 hours a week, maybe even a little bit less. But you want to feel like you have enough money. All right, cool. So how much money are you bringing in a year? She's like, a little bit less than a million. What? And this is where I'm glad I'm a coach and not a therapist. So I was like, what?
Yeah.
Wait, what?
Yeah.
But it's the inside game. It's the fulfillment game. Because there's never going to be enough.
No, there's not. And I think we don't realize that. And the whole relationship of women to money is such an interesting trauma-filled conversation. And, you know, I've heard, like, you shared a bit about the gender pay gap in corporate. It's even worse for entrepreneurs. Women actually pay themselves 20 cents on the dollar compared to male counterparts doing the same thing. And it's not, you know, I'm not blaming men at this point or anything. It's that we haven't allowed ourselves to step into valuing what we do in the world.
Yeah.
At the same level.
And I do. Okay. So in full transparency, I fell into a scammer. I personally feel that person scammed me. So I had been hiring service providers since about 2007. And around in, I think, like probably 50 different countries. Okay. Different consultants, coaches, various service providers. And I had never had someone who sold something and then had no intention of fulfilling it. Okay. So like I fell into it, but also you lied. Like there was a lie. There were lots of lies.
Yeah.
Anywho, when I look at advice for setting up a business, people who call themselves online business coaches, specifically for women, very rarely is there profit and loss statements, business plans, strategy versus action, accounting relationships, legal relationships. Like I'm not suggesting that an online business coach needs to like have all these templates. Obviously not. But they do, if you're supporting people set it up, it needs to be very similar to like, for example, a startup. Are you going to go for investment or are you going to bootstrap? Are you going to self-fund? What is your strategy? It better have more than two pillars. Can't have just one, right? Like that's not safe. What's your customer average? But so many market specifically to how you feel and what your mindset is. And those are valuable and important. That is mindset coaching. That is valuable and that is important. That is not business coaching. The part of me, because I was in a big group and I was shocked to discover, I was a little fish in a big pond. I was shocked to discover that I was paying myself three times as much as people whose businesses were generating three, four, five times what my business has generated.
Yeah.
Just in raw money. Many of these people were paying their coaches more than they were paying themselves. And that breaks my heart. Breaks my heart.
Yeah. You're bringing up something I've really been wrestling with because I am a coach and I also
have
coaches. And I've invested a lot of money in coaches and the containers that have been a year long and high ticket have not been a good experience. They've honestly felt a lot of them like a bait and switch. And I'm just coming out of one that was actually based in trauma and it has left an icky feeling in my mouth. So another thing I'm about is like, how do we really put authenticity back into coaching industry so no one else is scammed or any of that?
Yeah.
And I will share, when I started my chiropractic practice, I went to the bank for a line of credit and they asked for my P&L and bank balance sheet. And I was like, my what? Because no one ever told me what those were. Like, there's stuff you figure out.
That's oh my gosh.
Like, couldn't they have told us what those were in school when we were having more of the mindset classes where we read the book Good to Great? All great stuff. But
yes,
I needed to know what a P&L and a balance sheet was. And
100%.
You know, I skimped on my first accountant in tax filing and then had to pay like thousands of dollars to fix what she didn't do for me. So, you know, there's certain lessons that I don't think we should have to learn, but we end up learning the hard way.
Well, and you know, and sometimes we are going to learn the hard way. I feel like that's my preferred way of learning based on my past behavior. However, you know, if we're paying for a service, we're paying for that advice and support and counsel to consciously decide to learn it the hard way.
Yes.
Because sometimes, and Cammy, we got to send this episode to Cammy. Cammy gave me really good advice. And I said, thank you so much. I'm going to do it the other way. Guess who was right? And then 3 years later in my business, I came into a situation and I needed the experience that I had created when I consciously didn't listen to the best advice, right? Yeah, we have a lot to do. And I actually find that very exciting. So I'm a revolutionary by personality. I'm someone who steps into action and really sees. I'm a consultant. I'm a born consultant. I see and I'm like, we could do better. And that actually excites me about both the tech industry and the coaching industry is how much space there is to do, but more importantly, be better for ourselves, for each other, and for our communities. And that for me at the end of the day, when I feel like, I don't know about you, but I micro quit all the time. I quit. And then I have my little emotional response for 10 minutes and then I go back and I do the thing, right?
Yeah.
But that's what really gets me going and keeps me going. It's like, wow, there's just so many people who deserve better and I get to be better.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, you know, that's getting into the heart of why we do what we do. And when you have that connection, whether you stay in a job or leap, like every client I had in the health industry, all of my health coaching clients ended up becoming entrepreneurs. So I was like, maybe the universe is telling me something. So I made a little bit of a shift, but you know, it's learning to listen to that voice and build your bravery muscle, as we've talked about. So we've got a lot of directions on this episode. This has been a lot of fun. So in kind of bringing all of this together, because we've been motherhood, tech industry, you know, crazy coaching, all the stuff. Is there any like final parting words that you have for our listeners? And also how can they connect with you and find out more?
Absolutely. So my podcast is Build Your Brave Career. I just rebranded. Come on over. Super fun.
I'm not the only one.
Not the only one. Yeah. And then what I really love to wrap up with is kind of a summary. You know, bravery is a skill. You are already brave. You can choose to build it, and how you choose to do it, into what goal, what intent, that is beautifully yours.
I love that.
Thanks. Me too.
Yeah. That's just me. Because really that thing, we're all brave in our own way. And you choose how that looks in your life.
Yeah.
Well, Nicole, thank you so much. I will put links to your podcast and also to the episode with Cammy, since we brought it up multiple times. I don't remember which number it is, but I'll put a link to that one in there as well if you haven't listened to that already. And I just really appreciate you coming on and sharing your heart and your truth and what you're all about and being brave while you do so.
Thank you. And thanks a lot for having me and hosting this podcast.
You're very welcome.
Thanks so much for tuning into the show. I have a small request. If you enjoyed this episode, please take a moment to leave us a review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. This is a huge help to us on our quest to reach even more women around the world. Finally, if you're searching for a free community of women on a similar journey to you, I'd like to invite you to join me inside the free Rise community, hosted off of social media on Circle. Here you'll find connection with other women in a safe and loving space, a weekly book club, live events designed to deepen your inner work journey, and additional resources to support your growth. Visit www.jointherise.co or simply click on the link in the show notes to join me. Until next time, remember to honor and love yourself in each moment, embrace the challenges life throws at you, and continue rising.